We're continuing chapter 35 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And right now, Harry and Dumbledore are waiting for the fake Moody to turn back into the real whatever the hell he is. Then, before Harry's very eyes, the face of the man on the floor began to change. The scars were disappearing. The skin was becoming smooth. The mangled nose became whole and started to shrink. The long mane of grizzled gray hair suddenly withdrawing into the scalp and turning the color of straw. Suddenly, with a loud clunk, the wooden leg fell away as a normal leg regrew in its place. The next moment, the magical eyeball had popped out of the man's face as a real eye replaced it. It rolled across the floor and continued to swivel in every direction. Harry saw a man lying before him, pale-skinned, slightly freckled, with a mop of fair hair. He knew who he was. He had seen him in Dumbledore's pensieve, had watched him being led away from the courts by a Dementor, trying to convince Mr. Crouch that he was innocent. But he was lined around the eyes now and looked much older. You know who he is?
Barty Crouch's son.
There were hurried footsteps outside the corridor. Snape had returned with Winky at his heels. Professor McGonagall was right behind them. Crouch, Snape said, stopping dead in the doorway. Barty Crouch. Good heavens, said Professor McGonagall, stopping dead and staring down at the man on the floor. Filthy, disheveled, Winky peered around Snape's legs. Her mouth opened wide, and she let out a piercing shriek. Master Barty, Master Barty, what are you doing here? She flung herself forward onto the young man's chest. You has killed him! You has killed him! You killed Master's son! He's simply stunned, Winky, said Dumbledore. Step aside, please. Severus, you have the potion? Snape handed Dumbledore a small glass bottle of completely clear liquid, the Veritaserum with which he had threatened Harry in class. Dumbledore got up, bent over the man on the floor, and pulled him into a sitting position against the wall beneath the faux glass, in which the reflections of Dumbledore, Snape, and McGonagall were still glaring down upon them all. Winky remained on her knees, trembling, her hands over her face. Dumbledore forced the man's mouth open and poured 3 drops inside it. Then he pointed his wand at the man's chest and said, "Innervate." Crouch's son opened his eyes. His face was slack, his gaze unfocused. Dumbledore knelt before him so that their faces were level. "Can you hear me?" said Dumbledore quietly. The man's eyelids flickered. "Yes," he murmured. "I would like you to tell us," said Dumbledore swiftly, "how did you come to be here? How did you escape from Azkaban?" Crouch took a deep, shuddering breath, and then began to speak in a flat, expressionless voice. "My mother saved me. She knew she was dying. She persuaded my father to rescue me as a last favor to her. He loved her as he had never loved me. He agreed. They came to visit me. They gave me a draft of polyjuice potion containing one of my mother's hairs. She took a draft of polyjuice potion containing one of my hairs. We took on each other's appearance." Winky was shaking her head, trembling.
"Say no more, Master Barty, say no more. You is getting your father in trouble."
The Dementors are blind. They sensed one healthy, one dying person entering Azkaban. They sensed one healthy, one dying person leaving it. My father smuggled me out, disguised as my mother in case any prisoners were watching through the doors. My mother died a short while afterward in Azkaban. She was careful to drink polyjuice potion until the end. She was buried under my name and bearing my appearance. Everyone believed her to be me." The man's eyelids flickered. "And what did your father do with you when he had got you home?" said Dumbledore quietly. "Staged my mother's death. A quiet, private funeral. That grave is empty. The house elf nursed me back to health. Then I had to be concealed. I had to be controlled. My father had to use a number of spells to subdue me. When I had recovered my strength, I thought of only finding my master, of returning to his service. How did your father subdue you? Said Dumbledore. The Imperius curse, Crouch said. I was under my father's control. I was forced to wear an invisibility cloak day and night. I was always with the house elf. She was my keeper and caretaker. She pitied me. She persuaded my father to give me occasional treats, rewards for my good behavior. Master Barty, sobbed Winky through her hands. You isn't ought to tell them. You's getting in trouble. Did anybody ever discover that you were still alive? Said Dumbledore softly. Did anyone ever know except your father and the house elf? Yes, said Crouch, his eyelids flickering again. A witch in my father's office, Bertha Jorkins. She came to my house with papers for my father's signature. He was not at home. Winky showed her inside and returned to the kitchen, to me. But Bertha Jorkins heard Winky talking to me. She came to investigate. She heard enough to guess who was hiding under the invisibility cloak. My father arrived home. She confronted him. He put a very powerful memory charm to make her forget what she'd found out. Too powerful. He said it damaged her memory permanently.
Why is she coming to nose into my master's private business? Sobbed Winky. Why isn't she leaving us be?
Tell me about the Quidditch World Cup, said Dumbledore.
My father talked... Winky talked my father into it, said Crouch, still in the same monotonous voice. She spent months persuading him. I had not left the house for years. I had loved Quidditch. Let him go, she said. He will be in his invisibility cloak. He can watch. Let him stand, smell fresh air for once. She said my mother would have wanted it. She told my father that my mother had died to give me freedom. She had not saved me for a life of imprisonment. He agreed in the end. It was carefully planned. My father led me and Winky up to the top box early in the day. Winky was to say that she was saving a seat for my father. I was to sit there, invisible. When everyone else had left the box, we would emerge. Winky would appear to be alone. Nobody would ever know. But Winky didn't know that I was growing stronger. I was starting to fight my father's imperious curse. There were times when I was almost myself again. There were brief periods when I seemed outside of his control. It happened there in the top box. I found myself out in public in the middle of the match, and I saw in front of me a wand sticking out of a boy's pocket. I had not been allowed a wand since before Azkaban. I stole it. Winky didn't know. She's frightened of heights. She had her face hidden. Master Barty, you bad boy, whispered Winky, tears trickling down between her fingers.
So you took the wand, said Dumbledore. And what did you do with it?
We went back to the tent, said Crouch.
Then we heard them.
We heard the Death Eaters, the ones who had never been to Azkaban, the ones who had never suffered for my master. They had turned their backs upon him. They were not enslaved as I was. They were free to seek him, but they did not. They were merely making sport of muggles. The sound of their voices awoke me. My mind was clearer than it had been in years. I was angry. I had the wand. I wanted to attack them for their disloyalty to my master. My father had left the tent, and he had gone to free the muggles. Winky was afraid to see me so angry. She used her own brand of magic to bind me to her. She pulled me from the tent, pulled me into the forest, away from the Death Eaters. I tried to hold her back. I wanted to return to the campsite. I wanted to show those Death Eaters what loyalty to the Dark Lord meant, and to punish them for their lack of it. I used the stolen wand to cast the dark mark into the sky. Ministry wizards arrived. They shot stunning spells everywhere. One of the spells came through the trees where Winky and I stood. The bond between us was broken. We were both stunned. When Winky was discovered, my father knew I must be nearby. He searched the bushes where she had been found and
felt me lying there. He waited until the other ministry members had left the forest. He put me back under the imperious curse and took me home. He dismissed Winky. She had failed him. She had let me acquire a wand. She had almost let me escape. Winky let out a wail of despair. Now it was just Father and I alone in the house. And then... Crouch's head rolled on his neck, and an insane grin spread across his face. My master came for me, he said. He arrived at our house late one night in the arms of his servant Wormtail. My master had found out that I was still alive. He had captured Bertha Jorkins in Albania. He had tortured her. She told him a great deal. She told him about the Triwizard Tournament. She told him about the old Auror, Moody, who was going to teach at Hogwarts. He tortured her until he broke through the memory charm my father had placed on her. She told him I had escaped from Azkaban. She told him my father kept me in prison to prevent me from seeking my master. And so my master knew that I was still his faithful servant, perhaps the most faithful of all. My master conceived a plan based on the information Bertha had given him. He needed me. He arrived at our house near midnight. My father answered the door. The smile spread wider over Crouch's face, as though recalling the sweetest memory of his life. Winky's petrified brown eyes were visible through her fingers. She seemed too appalled to speak. It was very quick. My father was placed under the imperious curse by my master. Now my father was one imprisoned, controlled. My master forced him to go about his business as usual, to act as though nothing was wrong, and I was released. I awoke. I was myself again, alive as I hadn't been in years. And what did the Lord Voldemort ask you to do? Said Dumbledore. He asked me whether I was ready to risk everything for him. I was ready. It was my dream, my greatest ambition, to serve him, to prove myself to him. He told me he needed to place a faithful servant at Hogwarts, a servant who would guide Harry Potter through the Triwizard Tournament without appearing to do so, a servant who would watch over Harry Potter, ensure he reached the Triwizard Cup, turn the cup into a portkey which could take the first person to touch it to my master. But first, you needed Alistair Moody, said Dumbledore. His blue eyes were blazing, though his voice remained calm. Wormtail and I did it. We had prepared the polyjuice potion beforehand. We journeyed to his house. Moody put up a struggle. There was a commotion. We managed to subdue him just in time, forced him into a compartment in his own magical trunk, took some of his hair and added the potion. I drank it. I became Moody's double. I took his leg and his eye. I was ready to face Arthur Weasley when he arrived to sort out the muggles who had heard a disturbance. I made the dustbins move around the yard. I told Arthur Weasley I'd heard intruders in my yard and set off the dustbins. And then I packed Moody's clothes and dark detectors, put them in a trunk with Moody, and set off for Hogwarts. I kept him alive under the imperious curse. I wanted to be able to question him, to find out about his past, learn his habits, so that I could fool even Dumbledore. I also needed his hair to make the polyjuice potion. The other ingredients were easy. I stole broom slaying skin from the dungeons. When the potions master found me in his office, I said I was under orders to search it. And what became of Wormtail after you attacked Moody? Said Dumbledore. Wormtail returned to care for my master in my father's house and to keep watch over my father. But your father escaped, said Dumbledore. Yes, after a while he began to fight the Imperious Curse, just as I had done. There were periods where he knew what was happening. My master decided it was no longer safe for my father to leave the house. He forced him to send letters to the ministry instead. He made him write and say he was ill. But Wormtail neglected his duty. He was not watchful enough. My father escaped. My master guessed that he was heading for Hogwarts. My father was going to tell Dumbledore everything, to confess. He was going to admit that he had smuggled me from Azkaban. My master sent me word of my father's escape. He told me to stop him at all costs. So I waited and watched. I used the map I had taken from Harry Potter, the map that had almost ruined everything. Map, said Dumbledore quickly. What map is this? Potter's map of Hogwarts. Potter saw me on it. Potter saw me stealing more ingredients for the polyjuice potion from Snape's office one night. He thought I was my father. We had the same first name. I took the map from Potter that night. I told him my father hated dark wizards. Potter believed my father was after Snape. For a week, I waited for my father to arrive at Hogwarts. At last, one evening, the map showed my father entering the grounds. I pulled on my invisibility cloak and went down to meet him. He was walking around the edge of the forest. Then Potter came, and Crumb. I waited. I could not hurt Potter. My master needed him. Potter ran to get Dumbledore. I stunned Crumb. I killed my father. No, wailed Winky. Master Barty, what is you saying? You killed your father, Dumbledore said in the same soft voice. And what did you do with the body? Carried it into the forest, covered it with the invisibility cloak. I had the map with me. I watched Potter run into the castle. He met Snape. Dumbledore joined them. I watched Potter bringing Dumbledore out of the castle. I walked back out of the forest, doubled around behind them, and went to meet them. I told Dumbledore Snape had told me where to come. Dumbledore told me to go and look for my father. I went back to my father's body, watched the map. When everyone was gone, I transfigured my father's body. He became a bone. I buried it while wearing the invisibility cloak in the freshly dug earth in front of Hagrid's cabin. And there was complete silence, except for Winky's continued sobs. Then Dumbledore said, "And tonight?" "I offered to carry the Triwizard Cup into the maze before dinner," whispered Barty Crouch. "Turned it into a portkey. My master's plan worked. He has returned to power, and I will be honored by him beyond the dream of wizards." The insane smile lit his features once more, and his head drooped over his shoulder as Winky wailed and sobbed at his side. And that's the end of chapter 35. And next we'll read chapter 36 called The Parting of the Ways. And we're almost done. I hope you like that kitty. You're a sweet girl. Such a cute kid. Good night, kitty.